Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during a radical period of time in which America and the Western world is wandering away from the principles of God's Word. Steve Vaughn, also with me today, board member for Generations and Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Welcome, Steve. It's good to have you with us today.
Oh, it's great to be here. Great to be here. Great to be anywhere, actually.
Yeah. And Steve, I think what we're trying to do is trying to bring our children and, of course, others relating to the Generations ministry up to speed on a biblical world and life view. The Great Commission encouraged us to equip the man of God for every good work, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God to that end. And so we're desiring to see that as believers, we are ready and we're equipping others to be ready for applying God's word to every area of life. And so that means that we're going to take God's word and we're going to say, hey, this is going to speak to what's going on around us. And the world may say, hey, debt is good, but God says debt is an evil, that debt, not necessarily sinful, but the debtor is servant to the lender. And that isn't exactly the worldview that is maintained by John Maynard Keynes and the economists that run our world today. And in fact, you know, if you get the right perspective concerning debt, owe no man anything, the debtor is servant to the lender, you take these statements from Scripture, you start applying this to your own life, and I think, you know, you're going to see God's blessing in your own life. So, you know, it turns out the Word of God has more to say than just the gospel message that Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day, but it's also there to equip the man of God for every good work. That is, we go out there and we're equipped to be Christians and to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of life. So that's what we're trying to do on this program. And I want to initially bring out what's going on with the unemployment situation in America. It's good to get a little bit of the truth of what is happening around us. I think, Steve, that so many Americans are still in la-la land. They aren't really understanding what's going on with the economy. You shut down a nation's economy because of a death rate from influenza or from COVID-19 that is, you know, pretty much the same as upper lower respiratory deaths on any given year in the United States. And you're going to have some repercussions and consequences for that. And I'm not sure that Americans have come to grip with this.
No, I think they think that the government is king and that they know everything to do, that the WHO and the CDC and all of them have all of the right answers, when actually God's word has all of the right answers. And, you know, following that is what we need to do in order to be successful. God has created us to have our minds. He's created us to think. He's a logical God. He expects us to be logical and also to trust in him with all of our heart and not to lean on our understanding, but to acknowledge him in all of our ways, because he makes our path straight.
Yeah. Well, the Labor Department has been reporting the unemployment numbers down around 11-12%, but they forget to include both state and federal claims together at this point. Both state and federal unemployment claims stand at 32 million right now. So that puts the realistic rate of unemployment at 20%. Now, keep in mind that unemployment in America has been up around 8, 9, 10% a couple of times since the Great Depression. But now we're reaching upwards of 20%. The record unemployment rate in American history was during the Great Depression, and that was roughly 22%. So America is going into another Great Depression right now, and I think it's time for Americans to wake up to this reality. The Census Bureau has been monitoring another index since May and have discovered that 51% of adults in America have experienced loss of employment income since April. So not only do you have a 20% unemployment rate, but 51% of adults in America say they have experienced a loss of employment income since April. That's 60% of those making less than $25,000 a year, and roughly 45% of those making less than $100,000 a year, and 33% of those making over $200,000 a year claim that their overall employment income has been down since April. So we are in the second Great Depression now. It just, we haven't come to realize this. Corporate debt is worse than ever, standing now at $17 trillion at 73% of the GDP. That's the highest it's been in American history. Corporate debt now at $17 trillion. America's total debt crisis is out of control, now at 417% of the GDP as of right now, up from 147% of the GDP in 1960. That would be, what, an increase of threefold since 1960. And it was at 164% in 1980. And then up to 269% in 2000, up to 363% in 2008, now at 417% of the GDP. That is, America's debt crisis is at 417% of the GDP. World debt to GDP is pretty much the same thing, been a little bit more aggressive in terms of its growth. The debt to GDP worldwide increased from 120% to 400% between the year 2000 and 2020. Just in 20 years, saw a tripling of the world debt to GDP over just 20 years. The total federal debt now stands at 110% of the GDP. That's in the year 2020 right now. We're at 120% of the GDP, up from 58% in 2000, 62% in 2008. And way back in 1980, the total federal debt to GDP was 31%. Again, now it's 110%, a tripling since 1980, since Ronald Reagan reintroduced Keynesian economics in 1980. So there you have it, my friends. The American total federal debt to GDP has tripled since 1980, and just since about 2008, it's doubled since the 2008 recession, which means we have not recovered from the 2008 recession, friends. We just made things doubly worse. Things are twice as bad as they were in 2008, as far as the debt to GDP ratio goes on the federal level. Also, corporate debt, highest it's ever been. America's debt crisis out of control. Young people also in more debt than ever before. $16,504 per average millennial household now. That's for student debt, up from $2,000 in 1990. That's in constant dollars. Steve, that's an eightfold increase on just student debt over 30 years, adjusted for inflation. That's huge. Young people way more in debt than ever before, unable to start out in life, owning a home, et cetera, et cetera. Eight times worse than things were in 1990 when you and I graduated from college.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that we take a look at our families and we think that we're the normal families because my kids don't have debt. They don't have any school debt or anything like that. And then you take a look at the real world and what's going on right now. But hey, thankfully the government can just print up a whole bunch more money and get us out of debt, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. It's just, you know, the government, you know, everything's based upon the full faith and credit of our government. So just print up another $4 or $5 trillion and everybody's going to be okay.
Until faith in government and faith in the monetary system collapses, until that point, and silver and gold become increasingly attractive. Oh, wait, that's happening right now. Silver and gold, what, doubling in price in just the last, 3 to 4 months?
Yeah, I just checked gold. It's at 2040 right now per ounce.
It's shooting up. They say nothing's going to stop the shoot up till it reaches some 3,000 an ounce, which simply means, you know, gold prices have virtually tripled in just the last 15 years or so, and silver prices doubled in just the last 3 to 4 months. So, friends, faith in government obviously lapsing, faith in the monetary system lapsing at this point. Young people more in debt than ever before. America in three times the debt she was in the 1960s, 1970s. And the elderly are also in worse trouble than they ever have been, at least since the Social Security program was put in place in the 1920s or 1930s. The Social Security program is set for a 24% pay cut in about 10 years from now. And I think that's something everybody needs to understand, that Social Security system went into the red in 2011, which ironically was the first year that 80 million baby boomers started to retire. The 80 million baby boomers who had killed roughly 80 million babies, forcing the worker to retiree ratio to be one third of what it was in 1950, some 10 years from now. So friends, we're looking at a massive implosion of the debt to worker to retiree ratio, and We're looking at the bankruptcy of the Social Security program, such that there will be a fairly massive pay cut for Social Security recipients about 10 years from now, maybe even earlier than that. All of this assumes that America does not go into economic depression over the next 5 to 10 years. Well, it appears she already has. So the elderly are in trouble. Now, I want you to think about this. The average elderly person, say 74 years of age, receiving $1,503 a month, which isn't much. But Steve, imagine that $1,503 check dropping to $1,150 a month. My question is, how in the world is a 74-year-old poor elderly person able to survive on $1,150 a month? You know, rent in a beat-up one-bedroom apartment in Denver goes for about $1,150 a month. But what are they going to eat? The envelope, the check comes in? You know, at that point, what happens?
You're basically hoping that they have some sort of savings that they have, but nobody saves anymore. Nobody puts anything back. And so everybody's relying upon the government to be able to take care of them. Womb to tomb is what they're expecting.
Well, the monetary system is failing us. The Federal Reserve is failing us. The federal government is failing us. At this point, friends, it appears that America is going to have to stop trusting in horses and princes and turn to trusting in the Lord, our God. The gods of the heathen, gods of money, the gods of government are coming down hard. In the 2020s, with this new Great Depression, a great opportunity to turn our attention away from the gods of the heathen and to worship the true and living God. The gods of Dagon falling in the temple of Dagon before the Lord our God. And it's time for us to say, hey, all idols underfoot be trod. The Lord is God. The Lord is God. We're going to be back with more on Ultimate Prepping on the Generations broadcast. Stay with us.
Calling all fathers, young men, and church leaders. This September 28th to October 2nd, join other Christian brothers on the Eastern Plains of Colorado at the home of Kevin Swanson for a time of spiritual fellowship and growth. You'll experience 5 days of rich teaching, warm fellowship, extended times of prayer, and meals abundant in good food and edifying conversation. Our theme for this year focuses on being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 2020 has clearly revealed the shaky foundations many in our society are building their lives upon. Foundations of fear, anxiety, suspicion, accusation, anger, and violence. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us that Christ's resurrection gives us a solid foundation for remaining steadfast and brings purpose and meaning to our labors for the Lord. Join us this September as we gather for a time of spiritual strengthening and refreshment. You can register online today and save with our early bird pricing when you go to generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn also with me. And friends, we're looking at the second Great Depression. I think it's time to wake up and smell the napalm in this war of the world views and to wake up to the reality of the judgment of God who has come upon the nation. The Piper's invoiced. Steve, I think we're looking at a period of time in American history at which we're no longer going to be flying high economically. It's typically at times in which nations enjoy great prosperity that they give way to decadence. And of course, the decadence has been almost unprecedented in the history of the world. Not sure the last time that nations have slaughtered 80 million babies inside of a single generation. I mean, I have just finished a study of world history and Western history over the last year or two, and I can't think of another time in history in which there has been such a huge increase in the slaughter of the innocents and a period of time in history in which the masses have gone head over heels in love with sexual perversion. Sure, it existed in a small city state. Sure, it existed here and there, places like Pompeii that was bombed out by a volcano. But I'm not sure I know of any other period in history in which we have seen such unbelievable decadence that comes out of the most prosperous age in human history. And of course, it's when men and women cease to worship God, cease to be grateful, that they go their own way and effectively give him the obscene gesture and do whatever they want to do. Well, we've come to the point at which we're done with Peter robbing Paul, because now there's nothing that money can buy, and the gods of the copybook headings say, if you don't work, you die. So we're in that phase right now. And I think the ultimate prepping is this. So we say, be a prepper. We're not saying shift from a confidence in the state to a self-confidence or a self-reliance. We're looking at trusting in God, worshiping God, seeking the kingdom of God, returning to relationships, building church relationships, reprioritizing prayer. We're coming together for family prayer and Bible reading on a 2 times per day basis now, and that's minimum for us, Steve. And I think a lot of it is because we're realizing that we are more and more dependent upon God to make it, whether it just be in the financial sense or the spiritual sense, one way or the other. We know that we are entirely dependent upon God on a day-to-day basis. And so our family has just shifted around. Of course, we started attending a prayer meeting on a weekly basis, I'm going to say about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago now. And that's tonight. So on a weekly basis, we like to be part of a church prayer meeting. And then we also, about, I'm going to say 3 months ago, started a twice-a-day family prayer regimen, which has been very, very good. So spiritually, you know, a little bit more on the edge, on our edge, able to address some of the spiritual attacks that come much better than we used to. And I think it's because we're prepping. You know, we got to be preparing and prepping in a spiritual sense. Isn't that what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6? Let's prep spiritually. That's the first and foremost thing as we enter into the second Great Depression.
Yeah, and when you prepare and you plan, that's when there's expectations that you realize that God is in control. One of the things that I've been doing every morning is to just go and sit on the back porch and just, you know, there's three questions that I started off with God is, you know, do you realize the situation that's going on in the world right now and in my life? And of course, the answer is yes. And is there anything that's too big for you to handle? And it's no. And do you have plans for everything that's going on and in the world and in my life? And the answer is yes. And then the next thing is, so why don't you tell me, can you tell me what they are? And then just to be quiet. A lot of people forget that quiet time means that we are the ones that need to be quiet and listen for God to give you ideas and to speak into your heart. God still speaks to us. And that's exactly why so much prayer is such a great thing. We need to listen, though. We need to listen to God and to see where he's leading you. It says that you delight yourself in the Lord, and he will actually create in you the desires that he wants you to have. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Amen. God always, always communicates to us through his Spirit and by his word. And I think the thing we need to remember is that so much of America has fallen before the idol of the money god, and it's for us to turn away from that. And the other thing is the government. You know, we talk about the money god. There's also the government god. That is, you know, when you ask, well, I don't know if I've ever worshipped the government. Here's the question. Who do you rely upon to help you, to save you, even the economic or the physical sense? Is it, who do you ask, give us this day our daily bread? Is that a petition that is presented to Donald Trump and the Social Security Administration, or is that a petition that is directed to God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and is able to provide for all of the sparrows of the air and also will provide for us, O ye of little faith? So I think, you know, this is a great opportunity to come back to the conclusion that the state will not save us. The state is a bad god. The state will move the elderly into squalid apartment complexes in Mexico. The state will euthanize. The state will isolate. The state will do everything badly, especially when it comes to the things that have not been laid out as part of the jurisdiction of the state governments. And here's the other thing. I think it's time for the churches to engage. And this is one reason why, in some respects, I've been looking forward to a Great Depression, because it seems to me we need a reset button for the church. We need a reset button for the way that we think about everything, but especially the church. The churches, I think, at this point need to convert their Sunday school rooms into shelters for the elderly. I think that would be appropriate, Steve, at this point, where churches are actually doing what they're supposed to do. You know, it turns out that parents are responsible for teaching their children and to not just give them Sunday school, but give them a Monday school and a Tuesday school and a Wednesday school and a Thursday school and a Friday school and a Saturday school. That's for parents. Fathers, raise your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. But you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, and yes, the elderly are to be taken care of by the families, but then there's that widow that is the widow indeed, and she is to be placed on the role of the church. So here we have a directive from God via the Apostle Paul to the church that we do not relegate our widows off to a statist colony where, you know, they have to live in some squalid apartment complex in Mexico where, you know, by the time they reach 77 years of age, they're euthanized because the state is out of money. That's not for the Christian church. And I wish the Christian church would wake up and realize this, to turn their Sunday school rooms into shelters for the elderly, or just destroy their Sunday school rooms and build not necessarily a complex, but perhaps additions to homes in which the elderly can be taken care of by families in the churches, or at least, at the very least, by the deacons in the church.
Yeah, I used to work in a nursing home, and my nursing business took me into a number of nursing homes. It is amazing just how horrible some of those are. And, you know, just the thought of putting either of my parents in there just was obscene. I could not do that. And so thankfully, my dad's still doing pretty well. My brother's taking care of him at home. But if it ever came to be that they need to move him, I would take care of him from a nursing perspective, and I'd move him into my house. He's never going anywhere else.
Hmm. And that's the first line of defense. That's, of course, why Generations has developed the Christian Family Elder Care Program. And we still have the website. We don't have very many cheerleaders for the program. We'd like to get a little bit more impetus behind that. But of course, we have all the resources that families could possibly want here at the Generations Ministry. It's called the Christian Family Elder Care Program. But then again, friends, we've got to get away from this socialist system in which we're processing our elderly through a failing Social Security system. Let's get rid of this. The government, dagon God, has fallen on its face anyway. And historically, according to guys like Gregory of the Catholic Church, the Roman Church, John Calvin as well in his institutes, and of course the Venerable Bede in his book, The Ecclesiastical History of England. So historically, according to, you know, these guys who are very, very important Christians, Christian leaders in the history of the church always gave 25% of its monies to caring for the widows. Now, you know, regrettably, and I think my brothers in the church would agree with me, I'm not just criticizing ourselves, but I'm saying we would love to see something better than what we have right now. Our church barely gives, I'm going to say, between $5,000 or $10,000 per year to the poor or the widows. And I think we should be closer to $80,000 a year. But of course, since the state has co-opted all of this and has virtually destroyed private charity and the church diaconate, it's going to take a few years for us to restore the church so that the church is actually becoming the church again for the first time in about 100 years of Western history. So we're hoping that somehow the churches can do what the church is supposed to do, and the church will be relevant again as a social system, similar to the way it was in the early church, the way it was for 1900 years of church history, when churches were primarily responsible for these things, and we did not turn them over to the socialist state. In Acts chapter 6, we read that in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. That is, there was a daily care. Every day, the church was caring for the widows of the church, not the state, but the church. The 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Now, this was the beginning of the diaconate, or the deacons, in the church, and they were the men responsible for caring for the widows of the church. And friends, I think it's time to give up on Social Security and welfare for the poor. It's time to rebuild family inheritance, family elder care, and church care for the widows in the church. So let's take down our Sunday school rooms and attach care facilities for the elderly to our diaconate homes and to our churches. I think the time has come for the church to become the church again. And the final point I want to make as we talk about the ultimate prepping for the second Great Depression is this. Let's not turn away from reliance on the state to self-reliance. Let's not focus on self-reliance. Let's focus on God-reliance. And this shift from the state to the individual, in which the individual is purportedly going to rely upon himself and somehow survive by himself, this move from socialism to individualism is very, very damaging, especially in the American mindset. So rather, let's focus on a God reliance here, Steve. I think it's so important that we not give way to the other kind of humanism. There's that status form in which we worship the state, then there's, and we trust in the state, then there's the self-reliance in which we trust in ourselves. Both of them are equally bad.
Yeah, that's why it says trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, that we need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and we need to delight ourselves in the Lord, not in our own abilities. We are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And we are to run the race on the path he sets before us, not on the path we set before ourselves. So everything is about God. We need to trust in him, follow him, rely on him, cast our cares upon him. It's all about God, not about us.
The focus again is God, our trust in God, not in the state, not in ourselves. Friends, it's time for us to focus upon God and develop our covenantal relationships of family and church. These have been so broken down by divorce and by church hopping and all the rest. You know how these covenantal institutions have been unbelievably damaged by this individualism of the day. So let's work on building family relationships again. Let's return to covenantal family economy. Let's develop our family economies. Families are more loyal than the state. Families are more loving than the state. Families create an economy that sustains. The state just throws good money after bad until it drives everything into bankruptcy. But families can focus on faith and character and pray through the tough times together. You know, the state never prays with you. The state never does that. The state is a failure when it comes to doing the things that God, in his wisdom, has not assigned the state to do. So let's rebuild family economies. That's one reason why we wrote the book Family Life, which brings back the biblical vision for the biblical family in the 21st century. I encourage you to this book called Family Life. If there was one book that pretty much characterizes or summarizes the vision and the mission of the Generations Ministry, it would be Family Life. It's just a short 250-page paperback available at our website, generations.org. Again, encourage you to the restoration of the biblical family, especially now. There has never been a time more critical for the restoration of the family than now as we enter into the second Great Depression in American history. Encourage you to this resource, Family Life, building the family economy, building the family culture, building family relationships, building family worship. Friends, let's restore a biblical concept of the family in the 21st century with this book, Family Life, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.